Joining us now here on Spain and Company, ESPN officiating expert, former NBA ref, 25 years officiating in the league, Steve Javy, who's been tweeting via the NBA referees account while we're all watching The Last Dance. Steve, thanks for the time.
It's my pleasure. I have a lot of time right now.
I wish I could say the same. Some of us are just still somehow busy during coronavirus. You know, we were just talking as we were about to welcome you on. Is there a Hall of Fame category for officiating? Like, would you be allowed to be entered into the Hall of Fame for basketball for your, you know, contributions?
There is not a Hall of Fame. There's not a Hall of Fame just for officials, but yes, there is a category. There are a few officials that are in there right now. Mendy Rudolph is in there. Earl Strum. Dick Bavetta. I think there are the three that I can remember right now that are in there. So there is a category in there for now, yes.
Very, very interesting.
Maybe that's what's coming up next.
I think we can both agree that we should go ahead and throw Steve in there. If we had votes, Steve, we would do that. Steve, I want to start by asking you, because it always comes up in a conversation with MJ here, you know, coming off The Last Dance and everybody being so enthralled with the content, is the conversation of MJ in today's league. With how the game is ref today, MJ would average 45 points a game, maybe 50. He would be even more dominant. As you saw MJ back in the mid-80s, to seeing MJ in the minute he retired in the early 2000s, how would his game have translated to the league we're playing in now in 2020?
You know, I've thought about that, and what is really kind of amazing is now watching this docuseries, I forgot how physical it really was back then. I think when you're living in that time and refereeing in that time, it's just kind of, it's almost like looking at yourself in a mirror. You're looking at yourself in the mirror every day, and it's like, I don't look any different. But when you look at a picture 20 years ago, you go, oh my gosh, who was that? And it's the same thing with looking at the game, and I didn't realize how physical it was. And even as they came out and said, I mean, right in the news, all we're going to do is smack him when he comes across the middle. We're going to bang him. I mean, nowadays, you know, you push the guy a little bit, it's a foul. They want the athleticism to show. I couldn't even speculate what Jordan would do with these rules. And for sure, knowing Jordan, he always worked at improving his game, his weaknesses of his game each and every year. So it went from just being this phenomenal athlete to then all of a sudden he worked on his three-point shooting and his defense, then his post-up game. And there was always something he was working on to be the best he could possibly be. But in this day and age, he would have thrived and dominated like nothing else, I think.
Longtime NBA ref Steve Javy with us here on Spain and Company. You've been tweeting throughout this Last Dance on that official NBA refs account, and one of the things you said was that you had a good professional relationship with Jordan. If you thought that Rodman was losing his cool, you'd tell Jordan to handle him before you would make the call. But you also said that it was hard to referee Jordan. It was a challenge. Can you speak to that?
Yeah, it was a actually. You know what? If I did tweet that, Jordan was the kind of guy that, in my opinion, anyway, as I said, very professional. But his play, he didn't create contact. He wasn't an Allen Iverson who went to the basket, or a Tony Parker, these guards who dive into contact and fall on the ground. Jordan was so smooth and so athletic, he could actually avoid contact. Now, a lot of times, contact wasn't avoiding him because they wanted to throw him to the ground. There's no doubt about that. So I think in that aspect, I didn't think Jordan was that difficult to referee. But now Rodman was a different story. I mean, obviously Rodman was very, very, to me, very difficult to referee.
Yeah, that was actually Leon Wood. I apologize. He's the one who had tweeted out about it being challenging, and MJ kind of gave him a look once when he called the travel.
Yeah, right.
But good answer anyway. Very interesting.
So, Steve, so many people talk about not so many, that is not true, but what we've seen from the Isaiah Thomases, the Bill Laimbeers, even Charles Oakley have all said MJ and those Bulls, they were whiners, and that's something that doesn't get talked about enough. They whine more than anybody in the league during that stretch. Is that a true statement, or is there another team that rivals the amount of whining that you heard from those Chicago Bulls?
Here's the weird thing. I'm thinking back, and now we're talking how many, you know, 20 years ago,
sure.
So I'm thinking back because I'm trying to think of the teams that you didn't want to see on your schedule. And the team that you didn't mind seeing on your schedule was Chicago, in my opinion, because they were very athletic. They played the game. They played great defense. The team I hated to see on the schedule was New York. if anybody whined, it was New York. You had Mason, you had Oakley, you had Starks, you had Chris Childs. I mean, come on. There wasn't any bigger whiners than that. So Oakley can sit there and say all he wants, but guess what? He's got to look in the mirror with the Knicks, going over there.
Steve Javi talking to us about officiating in the NBA back in the day as we continue to all watch The Last Dance together. He's with us here on Spain and Company on ESPN Radio. I was just watching. My husband pulled up for me. I did not remember the Reggie Miller, Kobe Bryant fight back in the day.
Oh, yeah.
And one of the things I most noticed was this poor official who's like diving onto the scorer's table. He's in a headlock. He's trying to separate them. And he is doing his best job and absolutely accomplishing nothing. I'm curious what the official... like referee's book says about what you're supposed to do. Like, are you supposed to just keep trying to separate no matter how small you are in comparison to the people fighting?
I think in my rule book, I didn't get that section. I was more of a hockey referee who let them fight and took numbers and threw them out. There was no way I was getting in the middle of those guys because they were so big. Matter of fact, I just looked online and I had the big brawl between the Knicks and the Bulls in the playoffs in 94 when everything happened right below David Stern. And I was in that game, and that's when people could come off the bench. And I was watching it again today, and I went, if I ever got in the middle of that, how does someone like me, the size of me, which I'm not a small guy, I'm 6'2", like 220, but those guys just, you know, they dwarfed me. And yeah. I know one thing, as strong as they were, I was never an official, and I'll be honest, I never was an official who got in the middle of a fight. I was always the one that I stayed on a perimeter and I took notes. So maybe my rule book didn't get that section.
That's a smart decision. No matter how good in stature or gifted you may be, that's a safe play with some of those guys. Back in 2003, we're again going back about 17 years, but Steve, you were an official in Michael Jordan's final game of his career. And what was the conversation in the brief moments you had with him when he walked off that floor for the last time? What did you say to him?
Well, you know, it's funny. The conversation I had was more at he had two free throws, which I think he needed to, and I don't know if he knew he needed it, that he averaged so many points a game for so many years. But he had two free throws, and I still remember it being in, I'm a Philadelphia guy, and we're in Philadelphia. The game was in Philadelphia. And the fans were just so happy he was still in the game at that time. They started giving a standing ovation. It was towards the end of the game. And I actually held the ball in the middle of the lane. And I just held it for like a good minute. And Jordan's looking at me. And then I pontificated, I would have to say, to the other players and said, if you all acted like this guy and had the intensity of this man, I said, I'm holding this ball because he deserves this ovation.
Wow.
So I just was luckily aware of the situation and the timing and of the greatness that I had been able to officiate for all those years.
You know what? That reminds me. So there's a play against the Nets that we just saw in these last two episodes that I don't think gets enough shine, where he just goes through the entire defense. It moves the ball, you know, right, left, under. And the Nets bench, for a moment, seems to forget that that guy is playing against them. And they do the, like, hold me back kind of thing for an opponent. And I'm curious, you could tell that in that brief second, they sort of forgot there was such greatness in front of them that they couldn't control themselves. I'm wondering, as an official, how tough it is to see some of these unbelievable plays from mere feet away and not shake your head or laugh or give an indication that you yourself are incredulous.
No, that's a great point. And I'll say probably 98% of the time, you're really focused on what you have to do because you can't get caught up in watching the game as a fan. You really can't as an official. And if you do, you'll lose your job and you won't make, you know, obviously you'll get calls incorrect. But there are times in that extra 2% that I just said that after a play like that would happen, you run down the court and you catch your partner's eye as you're running down the court and you just go like, oh, how about that? You know, so it's, certain plays like that or like, and then the one time I was just thinking they showed when he spun on the baseline and dunked over Ewing. I mean, those plays don't happen too often. And so they would be like the one out of 100 play, you're running down the court and you look at your partner and you just like roll your eyes like, how did that happen?
Yeah, no question. Steve, you know, it's fascinating to talk to you about this because you're the impartial voice. If I asked Sarah the best rivalry in basketball, she'd say Bulls and Pistons or Lakers and Knicks. It'd be Bulls-centric because she's the Bulls fan. For you, you were on the floor doing all these games, immersed in all these different environments, immersed in all these different rivalries. Which one was the most electric of all the arenas you were in when you were calling that game? You're like, okay, going in, I know we're signing up for something wild tonight.
Wow, that's a fantastic question because there's so many great rivalries, as we know. The loudest building, I can sit there and say the Bulls and Knicks because Chicago Stadium was the loudest arena I've ever been in my life.
Wow.
Where it just almost, you levitated. It's almost like your feet are off the ground. That's how loud that building was. And then you go to the mecca of, you know, basketball and sports is the Madison Square Garden. Yeah. You go, oh my gosh. But then you look at the Lakers in Boston and you see that rivalry. And I never really had the chance of the Sixers and Boston too much. Because I was a little too young at the time. But no, there's a bunch of them. And you know what? One is just as good as the other. And to be able to be in the middle of all that as an official, and that's why I count my blessings. It's like I was refereeing at the time when basketball really started just, you know, soaring. Yeah. And got to be like America's sport and the world sport, I should say. And I give credit to David Stern. I give credit to the players who came in and that made the league what it is. And I was just so, so really blessed to be able to officiate during that time.
You know what I love is when people come on our show and just prove that I'm always right. You know, he just talks about how the Knicks are whiners and the Bulls was the loudest, best fans. It just feels good.
Compliment your co-host. Told him a great question I asked.
It's nice.
He's playing all this
here. Steve, thanks so much for the time. That was fun.
Hey, guys, I enjoyed it anytime. Thank you.